so before I read my script out, that there's members who can participate in this are Councillor Brian Ross, Peter Jones, and Scott Spencer.
Sorry.
I'm advised that I can participate.
You can. Okay, Dan Jones, yes, you can participate. Thank you. At the risk of boring you stiff, I do have to read this bit out again. Good evening and welcome to this special meeting of the Planning Committee. I'm Brendan McEwan, I'm chairing this. If you have a mobile phone, turn it off. On my right, are members of the Planning Department, and on my left, the officers from law. If you are going to speak as a member of the public and you are registered to speak, you will have up to 10 minutes. And a board member wishes to speak, they also will have 10 minutes. Audio recording has been taken, and members of the committee are invited. They do not enjoy the immunity, as that enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament, and as I said earlier, because of the general election, we are in further, so everything should be dealt with in accordance with National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan together with any relevant planning matters. So because this has previously come before us, as I say, there's only those members who just read out who will be able to take part in the debate, and of course, Gareth Jones. Has anyone been lobbied or any members interested on this application? Vanessa's going to take this one.
Thank you. This application seeks consent for the installation of a 49.5 megawatt solar farm with associated infrastructure, including substation, containers for transformers and inverters, CCTV, access tracks, landscape ecological enhancements, and means of access. The application was reported to Special Planning Committee in February and was deferred for clarification regarding the flood mitigation and screening to the west of the site. The location plans show the extent of the site outlined in red. The site is 62 hectares in area and is currently agricultural land. An aerial view of the site. To the south is Hanyards Lane, beyond which is Lower Hanyards Farm. To the west is an area of woodland, beyond which is Stafford Urban Area. To the north is County Showground, just off the plan. And to the east is Upper Hanyards Farm, beyond which lies Industry. Now these are the photos that you saw in the previous presentation, and this is the photo plan. Image 1 is looking north from Lower Hanyards Farm. The wind turbine is within the application site. Image 2 is looking northwest. Image 3 looking north from further along Hanyards Lane. Image 4 again looking north. This wind turbine is outside the site area.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Can we just ask, is there a reason the pictures are this? Because we're in this room, the lighting is not on. Normally the pictures are one from the lower, doesn't they? On a big screen, aren't they?
Yeah, they are doing this as a projection.
In the absence of Kenneth, of course, we would
clear on the
I don't tell you anything, but we were there, so we were not here.
Sorry, thank you.
Image 5, we're looking on Hanyards Lane. Image 6, looking north. Image 7, looking northeast. Image 8, looking west from the park of Hanyards Farm. Image 9 is looking southwest from the public footpath. Image 10 is looking northwest. And image 11 is looking northeast. Okay, the following plans are also included in the original presentation. Plan 1 shows the proposed site plan. Also, then, as Plan 1 shows the solar panels with a maximum height of 2.9 metres. The panels are static and angled at 25 degrees. Plan 2 shows the proposed substation. Plan 3, the proposed perimeter fencing at 2 type. Plan 4 is the container elevations. Figure 1 shows how the land can be used for sheep grazing post-development. Figure 2 shows an extract from the layout showing council pictures to route and woodland. Figure 3 is the viewpoint map. Figures 4 and 5 show viewpoint 15 from Cannock Chase. The following slide now relates to the firm reasons. Please note that the presentation has been updated so it's clearer as opposed to what was published to members earlier in the week. So the plan should be clearer now. So figure 6 relates to clarity of thought regarding the screening to the west of the site. This plan shows an amended zone of theoretical visibility plan. This is based on topography only, with no trees or buildings, and includes the proposed 3-metre boundary fence. This plan shows the chance of seeing any part of the solar farm from a particular point. The lighter colour demonstrates a lower chance of seeing the solar farm. As you can see, the colouring, hopefully you can see it, I'm sure where it's at. The plan shows that there will be limited visibility from the west of the site. The plan also shows the long section plans. These are the lines that run across the site, indicated on the maps. Okay. Figure 7, the top of the figure, shows the view from the bungalow on Blackheath Lane. This is a person standing at the bungalow here, and this line across here is the view line that they would have, sight lines. From here onwards is the application site, indicated in green. This shows that from the bungalow on Blackheath Lane, the site scheme would not be visible. The bottom is from Blackheath Lane, adjacent to the university campus. Again, if the person is standing here, this is the sight line. Here is where the application site begins. And the red section is what could be seen as if you were standing at the university campus on Blackheath Lane, should there be no woodland present. And that distance here is 675 metres away, as if you were standing on Blackheath Lane. There's another long section plan. So the top one is if you're on the junction, a roundabout junction of Western Road and Blackheath Lane. Again, the green bit is the application site. If there was no woodland present, you would see this red section here, which is at a distance of 508 metres away. And then the lower one is on Western Road, and you would not see the scheme here if there was no woodland present. Back to the plan that we previously saw. This also shows the location of the following photos. So photo 1 is by the university, photo 2 by Western Road Academy, and photo 3 taken by the roundabout. Figure 10 is by the university, figure 11 by Western Road Academy, and figure 12 from the roundabout. It is considered that submitted information demonstrates that the development, when viewed from the west, would largely be screened by the topography and the new hedgerow, should the woodland be cut down in its entirety. It is therefore it's, the application that has resolved this deferral matter. Looking at the flood mitigation deferral reason, the submission included a flood risk assessment, which had been assessed by the flood authority, who had no objections to the subject to the recommended conditions. The FRA provided two potential drainage strategies, which the flood authority had accepted. Both strategies would reduce the surface water flow from the site by approximately 50% on the western part of the site and approximately 75% on the eastern part of the site. The first drainage strategy is based on an infiltration design and is shown on screen now. It's noted that there's a discrepancy between the FRA explanatory text and the drainage plan with regards to the swale top width. However, the plan shows the correct detail, and the flood authority advised that this discrepancy does not alter their comments, and that the final swale screen here. It's not very clear. So on the first potential drainage scheme, which is based on infiltration, these blue lines that run across the site relate to drains. These drains would be 1 metre by 1 metre deep and would run between the solar panels, as you can see, hopefully running across the site. These drains would be below the drainage ditch and would provide storage and direct rainfall towards the linear swales. The linear swales, shown by this dark orange colour on the edge of the site, there's two of them, one here and one here. These would be 4 metres wide atop width and 0.6 metres deep, and the linear swales would intercept any overland flows from the site and provide storage before discharging into the existing watercourses by the outflows, which are shown by red circles on there and there. Figure 14 shows the second drainage strategy, which proposes secondary swales within the site to provide storage and direct rainfall towards the primary and linear swales. Again, the secondary swales are shown in blue, running between the solar panels. The larger primary swales at the site boundary are again shown in dark orange here and here. These on top of it are 4 metres. These swales will then discharge into the existing watercourses at controlled rates. Again, shown with these red circles where they would discharge into the watercourses. The proposed drainage schemes would significantly reduce the risk of flooding from on-site runoff. In both instances, the linear swales act as attenuation areas and the layout has been designed to accommodate these. Other attenuation ponds would not be required on the site. It is considered that the submission demonstrates that a suitable drainage scheme could be provided for the scheme and recommended conditions would secure the final details. In conclusion, it is considered that the drainage and visual impact have been adequately assessed. The conclusions of the original report are unchanged by the submission of clarification information, and the report is recommended for approval subject to conditions listed within the original committee report. Thank you.
Well done, Vanessa. Good report. We have two people who have put themselves forward to speak. I have an objector, Mr. Tom Follows. Oh. Would you like to take a seat and have that seat? You have 10 minutes.
There is no change in the flood risk assessment from the last meeting, therefore the members' concerns remain. There is an acceptance by the local lead flood authority there is a significant and frequent flood risk in this area. Suffolk Borough tolls. Sorry. Which one is it? That one, sorry. Do you want me to start again? Or?
No, it's okay.
Suffolk Borough Local Plan Policy 42 Flood Risk. New development should, where possible, be directed to the areas of lowest risk of flooding. There are fundamental flaws in the drainage strategy, in that the proposed drainage schemes do not have the capacity to hold water will be ineffective in providing attenuation of water from the site. This has been confirmed by RAP drainage consultants instructed by ourselves. If you look at the drawing there, you can't see because it's just too thick. But those blue lines, they go down across the contour lines, so they will not act as swales. Swales tend to be level. They are running down. The one in the from the what would be south to north, there is an 8 metre drop on that swale, so it will not hold any water at all. It will actually accentuate the problem. There's another serious problem with this application. The applicant has failed to declare significant land drains under this land. And concerning it, they should have been easily found. I mean, I can tell you where they are. The applicant had a field walk, they should have seen where they are, and they haven't. I asked the question, why were they not put on there? They will sterilise a significant amount of land. The London Lee Flood Authority should have tried to determine where the water comes into our water course that goes out to the site and causes the flooding. It actually comes from the land drains under the field. If the local Lee Flood Agency had done the job properly, they would have identified these, and the local planning authority would have identified them as well, and the scheme would not be as we see it now, and it's unsound, completely unsound. If I just now move on to screening, the applicant is attempting to discredit our assertion that we will not provide screening. They provided this consultant forestry report. They also claim the woodland would, in their segment, they also claim the woodland will still provide screening. I can tell you now that we've put an application into the Forest Commission, and we've now got permission to fell the block of woodland by the university and along the part of Buckeyes Lane. So we will not be providing screening, contrary to what they say that the woodland will be providing screening. The LPA previously considered there was adequate screening. This is just completely untrue. The two distinct components of a landscape visual impact assessment, which they should identify, one, landscape effect and the visual effect. And we would argue that these haven't been properly assessed with regard to assessing the changes that will make on the landscape on the western side of the proposed site, with regard to people's visual appreciation. The applicants claim that visual impact is only measured from accessible public viewpoints, but having taken some legal advice on this, we now say that the applicant alludes to the fact that visual and landscape impact isn't just about the visibility from public vantage points. Visual impact affects visual receptors, and they can be people. And these can be people's view when experienced from a particular place, for example, public rights of way. From other outdoor recreational facilities, people, vehicle travellers, including those who may be visiting, living or working within the study area. The applicant has not fully identified these visual receptors to the west of the proposed site and accordingly not given the visual receptors enough consideration. And this again, this will apply if they get planning permission and this construction. They have to accept the fact that there are receptors on the side of the western side of the site. The applicant has been, going back to the other point, the applicant has been very selective on their lines of sight and the section drawings from the west. And you know, if needed, we'll get a land surveyor to provide us with alternative ones, which will show the impact is far greater than they're trying to show you at the moment. The other thing is, I'd just like to remind the committee that there's a local plan and policy 44 landscape says development should conserve enhanced landscapes avoiding significant adverse landscape or visual impact. Development proposals must be located to respect scenic quality. And finally, proposals which would have landscape and visual effects should avoid detrimental effects and, where appropriate, enhance the local distinctive pattern of landscape elements, such as woodland streams, hedges, trees, field boundaries, etc. I would say this applicant failed on all of those accounts quite significantly. Finally, we would have welcomed a visit by a planning officer to our site just so they could see. And the committee, it would have been nice if the committee had been shown the site from the west side, because the topography on the west side is completely different from what you see on Annual Lane. Annual Lane is very flat. On the west side, it rises up quite significantly. And it would have given you a better chance to understand the impact that this development will have on the west side of their site. I believe it would be unsafe, unsound, illogical to ignore our current and previous objections, which we raised about the agricultural report. You cannot have sheep in there eating grass where the local Lee Flood Authority have said they want 300 mil of grass left on the leading edge. You can't tell a sheep not to eat that grass. Simple as that. And so the agricultural report was had its issues as well. All objectors and the applicant should be treated fairly, and I do not believe that the recommendation for approval by the planning
clarity. When you say view from our land or outside, where are you?
We're talking about woodland, the woodland.
Not from Blackheath Lane.
Well, the woodland goes up Blackheath Lane.
Sorry, yeah.
So the woodland goes all the way up to Blackheath Lane.
Yes.
It's been pounded by both lanes.
When you say view from your side, where
yes.
exactly?
Yes, so from the edge of Blackheath Lane, or from the edge of the university, or wherever.
On the highway?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
We also have a
supporter, Mr. Paul Bailey or Brian Henton.
Chair, there's going to speak in this register previously, so if you don't mind, I'll speak first, if that's okay.
Yeah, please come to the table. Yeah, you've only get 5 minutes each maximum.
Yes, I understand. Thanks, Chair. Thank you for allowing us to speak. It's really just like to come back on a couple of points, really, mentioned by the previous speaker. In terms of surface water, as mentioned by Vanessa, the scheme has received approval from the Lead Flood Authority. At the moment, this is a drainage strategy which looks at the worst case scenario. So that actually, the proposal for the swales and the land drains, which are the secondary swales, actually assume there will be no natural infiltration on site. So further testing is required to do a percolation test as part of the detailed design, and that's likely that there will be some natural filtration, because the tests that have been done so far show that there's good percolation. Obviously, in terms of visual impact, members will be aware that a comprehensive landscape and visual impact assessment was undertaken. Prior to undertaking that study, consultation was undertaken with various groups and organisations to identify all the viewpoints, the visual viewpoints to undertake that study. Details of that are obviously outlined in the report. The additional work which was undertaken to the west of the site did actually look at specific viewpoints along Blackheath Lane, and so there are several viewpoints that were assessed and sections undertaken. Obviously there's a limit to how many you do. I mean, there is several sections done that do show, yes, you will be able to see solar panels, but you would view them at selective locations and it would be seen as a thin strip of panels above the hedge line. So visual impact is relatively low. I think the other point to make really is that that visual impact actually assumes the woodland and the hedgerow on Blackheath Lane being removed in its entirety. The previous speaker did say that their intention is to remove the whole woodland. You will see in our submission that we did take advice from a forestry expert. And good practice suggests that when felling commercial woodland, you would do that in blocks. So you wouldn't clear fell, you would fell in blocks over time and replant in between, and that is a practice that is supported by the Forestry Commission. So the likelihood of clear felling is very unlikely, because it would be done in a phased fashion. Even if it was felled, obviously the impact, as shown in the section drawings and the ZTVs, is low. The only other thing I'm probably supposed to mention really was about agricultural use of the site. No land will be left dormant once the solar panels are installed, and there would be no loss of agricultural production. The applicant is a farmer himself, he's worked with the landowner, a farmer, because this was one of the main thrusts of the scheme, was to try and ensure that agricultural use and production continued from the site. Predominantly that is by haylage being cut to provide feed for livestock, and moving and switching to an organic source of grasses and herbs and clover to fix and help with nitrogen.
1 minute before you swap.
So I think, it was just reiterating that point, which is, I think, is certainly mentioned in the report. I'll hand over to my colleague now, Brian, to speak further. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Clock is still ticking.
Hello, gentlemen and ladies. My name is Brian Henton. I'd like to just give you a few comments. That I'm no planning expert. I employ planning experts. I'm no flood expert. I employ planning. I employ flood experts. And this application has taken us 3 years to get to this planning step. It's cost tens of thousands of pounds. We've consulted with everybody we could possibly consult with, and some extras. I did get a bit upset when Mr. Fallows talks about situations. He's not produced one piece of evidence in any report, which is quite easy to do to get the experts to come and do do these reports and then put them all before you people. We've worked with our experts and the flood experts at the council. Remember, this is still an ongoing situation. The council will not sign off, the council planning committee will not sign off on this project until they are totally satisfied, both at all levels that we have to go through, that we are in fact enhancing the restriction of water to this area. The other thing is that my background is very varied. I was only child in a council estate, and in my own lifetime I managed to get to a country estate, which I owned in Leicestershire. I did this through various means. Well, I was in motor racing for 15 years, and in that time, I drove in Formula One from 75 to 83. I had one of the things that I noticed, because I was travelling around the world, this is in the 80s, that things were not correct in the climate and so on. I got more and more interested in climate change. I had to be in Brazil with two other drivers, Ayrton Senna and Alex Dias Ribeiro, who suggested I go and look at a coffee plantation they were planning in the Brazilian jungle. We travelled for 8 hours on a dirt road way into the Brazilian outback. And one thing that you could see was that there were farms. The forestation was being hacked down for farms all the way along the road. And when I got to the destination, I was completely against hacking any more forestation down. In fact, it was the thing that made me realise I had got to try and do something to actually, for our children and for this world on climate change. From that day on, I've been looking at ways in which I might be able to get involved. On my own estate in Leicestershire, I first of all planted 20,000 trees, not chopped them down, I planted them. I know about trees. If as Mr. Fallows had admitted, he's actually getting grants from these things for planting trees, you also have a tree management program, which you have to replant. So this thing about the trees coming into being cut down at it is in fact it's a non situation, and I think of that. I'll just, if that's my time, that's
yeah, 1 minute to go.
As far as the we believe, because I'm a farmer now for 34 years. the manager farmers, we put together a scheme that transpires to be the greenest, most effective scheme that is possible at this moment in time on climate. We're getting the same return from the land as if there was not a solar panel there, and we're getting the extra from the solar panels actually being on that site. And just several points. One, we have, as you know, I own turbines that you are in your area here. One, we have reduced the price that we get from 25p to 6p per kilowatt. Which
must ask you to stop there now. Thank you for your input. Thank you.
Okay.
Councillor Francis Beach, you need to speak.
Assessment was confirmed by an email from RAB Drainage Consultants, also employed by the company. There's a very serious issue that the applicant has failed to prepare significant land drains, which has been mentioned by Mr. Follows, and which are under the proposed site. These could easily have been identified and would have radically altered the proposed scheme. The applicant doesn't show the land drains within area one of the applicant site. The flood authority and our planning department have accepted the claim that the drainage ditch only serves the applicant site, when it in fact serves four or five land drains under the proposed site beyond the applicant site, which would need protection and radically alter the scheme. Turning to screening, the applicants cannot legitimately claim to have secured any west side screening, as has already been discussed, yet they provided a forestry report to contradict the woodland owner's categoric denial that the plantation would provide screening throughout the life of the solar farm. They cannot seem to say that. The owners of the woodland will continue claiming operations. As they've said, these are mature and diseased trees. The Forestry Commission has agreed failing the larch and Corsican pine plantation as it's now mature, and it screens the university campus and some of Blackheath Lane. It makes applicants' claims that the woodland will provide screening incorrect. The applicant's forestry report should be disregarded. And this point about no claim failing could easily be refuted by Mr. Follows as a skilled and specialist forester. The developers have provided some sight lines. These are supposedly to provide clarity. There are problems with these. They've been selected with the sight lines chosen. One is that they fail to include the high visibility from Park Farm. I've mentioned that Park Farm has had no discussions with the developers at all. They haven't been included in their report. They don't show how prominent the solar farm will be seen through the wood. The proposed new hedge will not screen the site, as has been mentioned to you tonight. It will not screen the site due to the topography of the rising land. There are no sight lines from the university campus. The impact on the university should be particularly obvious, considering its very close proximity to the site, and there are no sight lines from the wood. Our own local plan policy 44 on landscape says that development should conserve and enhance landscape, avoiding significant adverse landscape or visual impact. Development proposals must be located to respect scenic quality. Proposals which would have landscape and visual effects should avoid detrimental effects and, where appropriate, enhance the local distinctive pattern of landscape. We have a significant number of extensive solar farm applications, notably falling just below the large-scale application of 49 point whatever it is acres, each one's coming in at the same acreage. They're coming forward, at least three of my water learners, I've said. Without a specific policy, each one has to be dealt with on its merits, and this one is fundamentally flawed. I do worry that if council goes ahead with all of this, approving this application, we're opening ourselves to possible judicial review. But that would go under compromise. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Beattie. Do you need any clarification, President? And there seems to be like a conflict between the applicant and saying that the water can be discharged and won't affect the local area. The objector is saying it won't have an effect.
We are guided by the county flood teams with regards to drainage. We are not drainage experts, so that's why the county flood team advises on this. They have advised it's acceptable, the suitable drainage schemes can be secured by condition, and that is what we have to take. We can't argue that, I'm afraid, from our point of view.
Councillor Spencer?
Yeah, a number of points to bring up, really. First one mentioned by officers, there's a 50 to 75% reduction Now, from what baseline? Is that from the original agricultural land or from the proposal when it was first brought to the
Could I ask the applicant for clarification on that, perhaps? Will you do?
I believe that's based on from the site currently as is to post-construction.
So we're going to reduce the amount of coming on site by 50 to 75%.
The rent that it would discharge into the water sources.
So the rate, not the amount?
Correct, the same amount of rainfall on the site.
No, sorry, I mean the rate of flow off the site, not the amount of water being inside.
Yes.
Controlled.
Controlled the rate of flow.
Okay. Okay. So it's mentioned about the swales which need to be restored. I've done a little calculation, that would require an excavation of about 4,500 cube of material, soils generally. It states as part of the 4-year plan that it's going to be restored back to its original condition. Where will this, what is shown to be prime class 3 ground, where will these soils be going? Presumably off site, which then means this can't be restored back to its original condition.
Would you like to answer that question about the soil?
It is mentioned in the planning statement that all the topsoil that will be removed from site, which will be retained on site for reuse.
Can you show me where on this plan that's proposed to be stored?
It isn't shown on the actual drawing, but it will be accommodated within the buffer strips that are surround the whole site.
Can I suggest that maybe the visual impact on the western side could be mitigated by producing a bund with that topsoil along that western side?
Sorry for speaking, but that's the reason for the buffer soils.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
There is a buffer zone, as you can see on the drawing around the whole site, which was provided, which is set back from the actual woodland fringe, which would accommodate the storage of topsoil.
Through me. Okay, sorry, through you, Chair. So, could we not then potentially agree to approve this? Increase the height of that buffer zone along the western boundary combined with the hedge, which said that then potentially remove any visual intrusivity on the western side. Is that potential? Is that
what height is the bottom of the offer? The bottom that you're proposing is one height, is it?
The proposed hedge at the moment is proposed at 3 metres height, so obviously any raising of the land would obviously increase the height of that hedge. The section drawings that members have seen assume a hedge of a height of 3 metres.
Off the existing ground level?
Yes, from the existing ground level to the top of the hedge.
Sure. I think there needs to be some clarity as to what exactly this buffer zone is comprising. If it's going to be comprised of it, soil being stockpiled, there's a significant volume of material that's going to be stockpiled, potentially. And that could raise ground levels in that area. Of course, if not all the way around the site, certainly in one area of the site, this could have an impact on the development.
So you're suggesting that by increasing, using that spoil to create a bund, would help
it could mitigate some of the issues that have happened.
But that's not part of the proposal, is it? So, conditions.
Okay.
Councillor Brian Cross.
Yes, Chairman, I have concerns from what the ward member raised. When we went on this site visit, we never looked at it from the western side. And from issues that she raised, I would like to go and see that. And also, the impact on this park farm. Again, that wasn't in our site visit last time. And I just wonder if it's worthwhile us going back on a site visit to look at those two issues.
Are you proposing that we have another site visit?
To satisfy my mind on what we haven't seen, yes. I propose that we go on the site. The other side of it, just specifically to the western side of the site and our farm.
So if we were to go on a site visit, we'd have to be looking at some sort of clarification pertaining to this application.
Mr. Farrant, I would suggest that we deal with the point that was raised earlier about.
Put your mic on.
Sorry. I think the point that was made about the fact that we didn't look at on the site visit from the western side is quite important, and that we perhaps should have done, and a site visit would enable us to rectify that.
So, we went on that last night. Yes. So if we were to go on another site visit, it would be specifically from the western views. We couldn't revisit that that we've already known, and it would have to be from.
Yeah, to the areas that we haven't been, the western side and from Park Farm, which we didn't see when we, all we saw was what alongside that lane.
We have to be on public land.
Sorry?
We have to view from public land.
Yeah. Alright, well, I guess we didn't see.
So from the west side, like
from the western side, and that's where all the issues seem to be. That's the area that floods.
Sorry, only with
I was supposed to speak to it. I was just trying to help. It's just that there are several photographs from the western part of the side of the city planners have, which might help members of us to see that viewpoint, which correspond to the section.
This is from Blackie Lane, standing by the university campus, looking towards the site. This is from Blackie Lane, looking towards the site from near the Western Road Academy. And then this is from the roundabout, looking towards the site.
There's a car tower from that.
We need to go through those trees.
Well, do we need to go through those trees because we're then going on private land, don't we? This is the public view.
Mr. Chairman, my concerns are what's been raised tonight by the objector and the ward councillor. I don't feel I'd like to support the application. If we go and have a look, then maybe those concerns will be weighed in the room.
So I'm just going to move on slightly just from this view points for you and just go back to the floodings, if I may, Chair. The objector stated that he's had a couple of reports by, I imagine, flood consultants that have come back saying that this proposal doesn't work in its current form.
clarification then, Mr. Hollands, could you provide those reports?
No, I'm not prepared to. Well, because that's not. No, hold on, what do you say? Would you like me to read out what they said?
I'll just read out what Rapid Consulting say. They are respective drainage consultants.
Firstly, most of the secondary swales indicated by solid blue lines run perpendicular to the contours, which, considering the steep slope, would concentrate surface water runoff rather than slowing it down. Secondly, regarding the use of swales for attenuation illustrated by the red lines on the site boundary, these swales would need to be leveled to offer effective storage. However, based on the provided plans, the swales appear to intersect multiple contour lines. The western swale, the southern segment, crosses the level range from 111 metres to 102 metres at the control structure. With a width of 0.6, most of the swale would be ineffective for attenuation.
If you want to use that report, it really has got to be made available to the officers.
Well, all right, we will provide it to the officers then. But I would prefer to be using it when we have a review of this application.
I believe you should defer the application to those reports later.
Can I just say why we as an objector have to provide a report? Surely it should be
the local flooding, and so the planning authority should be our concern. You've had your say, maybe. We can defer to a site visit and request all the information in respect of the flood risk assessments, because we clearly have A and B here.
In relation to the issue of the flood report, it's not a matter of necessarily the flood report being made available to the committee as is. The flood report, if it contradicts what the local flood authority is saying, should have been taken up with them directly and drawn to their attention, but that's not been done in this case. The record is no objection by the local flood agency, and that's contained within the report, which is a public document.
Can I just say that I raised this at the last, in our objections, I raised this in our objections and at the last panel?
I think that's unfair. Councillor Beattie.
Thank you. If you do decide to do a site visit, I think it would be sensible to have a look at the land drains, because there is an argument as to whether there is one land drain or several land drains, and I believe that Mr. Follis would allow access onto his land for that to be finalised and the matter to be decided.
Councillor Spencer.
Sorry, again, back to the flood. So, therefore, can I conclude what's been said, that we have to take the report from the council's flood team that this does meet their requirements in its current form, dependent on further assessments of the infiltration?
Okay, there is no objection to the report. So then, do you want to defer, or do you want to go on site visit to the western view? But I think that photograph up there shows it's fairly dense. We won't see a lot from Blackheath.
May I speak?
For clarity?
I think that everyone here, we've all had enough time and effort and detail in this planning application, and I think a decision should be made one way or the other tonight.
So where do you want to go? We can either refuse it tonight or approve it, which would be the sensible position. We've been here twice now before. There's not a lot else we can do. I'm not sensing where you want to go with this. So,
I propose to potentially accept the proposal, however, with the conditions of additional screening to the western side, which incorporates this additional topsoil, which could be formed into a bottom. I am aware that that would require some additional work.
That, as a condition, that means the bund is a large element of extra work.
Well, the bund is already in the application, though, as I've already said, it's in the book section.
So we can't condition that fund because it's an introduction of a new element in any time. So we can't condition, it would have to be.
Chair, can we therefore condition there is a landscaping plan within this proposal? So can we bolster that to additional speed if we can't?
Chairman, my colleague just made a suggestion that if there is a concern about this western side, we would undertake to plan screening of on that side of an enhanced situation.
Thank you. type, size, planting numbers and distances, and a programme detail of timing of the landscaping works. That's on page 48.
Can I put forward maybe at least 10 metres? Width.
10 metres, yeah.
We could put the word depth in
Or width is depth, isn't it? Yes, in this case.
Instead of one single line, a coppice.
Well, could we have clarification from the applicant as to the width of their office?
Can ask the applicant or agent then, if there were a condition on landscaping, that were to request a depth to it. Is that something?
Can confirm that the depth of the buffer on the plan is 7 metres at the moment.
7 metres.
So that could incorporate different species of shrub, which obviously grow to a greater height.
So there is a depth to it already, it's not a single line of trees.
No, I think that buffer zone incorporates able to cut the hedge to allow access from the sheep. So I think what I would be able to do, as far as I think we need to do, is plant that up further to show to create a greater screen.
Yeah. When you put clarification then. If it is 7 metres deep, this landscaping scheme that you have,
yes,
already, and that will run for a certain length?
The 7 metre buffer runs around the whole of the site. At the moment, the hedge that's proposed on the western boundary is just a standard double width hedge, so obviously that could be extended to occupy most of that buffer. So at the moment, it just runs along the perimeter.
Trying to squeeze some words.
Yeah, again, it's obviously be a pain in the proverbial. But could that last not only hedging but also trees? I think would be preferred. Not just a 3 metre hedge that's 6 metres wide.
That's what we've suggested.
Yeah, it's just an additional tree and hedge plant.
Objector to deal with the flood authority. foot that this land is going to cause flooding, and we are accepting the flood authority's advice at the moment. This is going to make it worse. You really need to understand how many land drains there are that have not been described in the applicant's presentation.
As I said, we're not the flood experts. We're from the
But we'll be the ones who take the flak when the Western Road Academy is flooded along with many other properties.
Well, just like we take highways, of course.
Changing to his scheme if that drainage solution doesn't work, then they have to eat away.
system will have to be accommodated within the scheme itself. Excuse me, Chair, it would be quite straightforward to lose the old road's hands to accommodate what has been suggested.
Words there that will help.
It
have a lot of vacant space which comes half south, half from the western boundary. And something along the lines of the details of the landscaping scheme along the western boundary of the site to be defined by the extent shall be, the depth of which of the planting shall be informed by the final drainage design, because we don't have a
I don't agree with that, because that swale could be 10 metres wide and even only a 1 metre strip. I think we should go back to what I previously mentioned. So we've got two issues, haven't we? The issue is one, the visual impact, to try and mitigate that, and then the other one is if you figure out, for the want of a better word, the landscaping, the main impact on the land drainage.
Chair, sorry, these swales, they are only on a very small proportion of this boundary of the site. The surrounding site is a significant length, of which the swales do not fill anywhere near half of that length. So those swales could be increased in length without any increase in width, and still increase their capacity of the flood.
I've been trying to reach a decision. I don't really want to defer this if we can reach some sort of decision.
Change the detail of the drainage report without going back to the local flood authority.
I'm not suggesting that, because they've already said there will be detailed design. What I'm trying to fix as part of this condition is the landscaping buffer, because the design office of this flood mitigation isn't set in stone now. They've said in this report they have to do additional testing. So this design of 350 cubes, 60 cube, is dependent on infiltration tests, which haven't been completed yet. So it's already made change. But the landscaping buffer can be set in stone. say at least, let's say, 4 metres, that would allow 3 or 4 different stages of planting, or maybe ideally go as far as 5 metres, because the hedge itself will take up at least 1 metre.
Yeah, okay. From the agent then, can you just help us out here with what you think could be achieved?
Well, I think we've accepted there is a 7 metre buffer, and then there is the swales. So we can accommodate whatever planting is required within the 7 metre buffer without affecting the swale, and which won't affect the panels. Obviously, if members are considering further planting outside the 7 metres, then that would affect the panel layout.
So, did you all speak, Councillor? So the 7 metre buffer is fixed.
Yes.
So, within the identified 7 metre buffer along the western boundary, that should be reinforced planting of a species, size, numbers of planting, depth planting within that buffer.
Great.
Right. So, what we'd like to do, Councillor, would be to add another provision to condition 19, just to refer to the western boundary. So without a general, in fact, we probably have a separate condition for the western boundary in addition to condition 19.
Agreed.
To be a pre-commencement condition to, in order to work that through the drainage?
Yes.
Okay.
Chairman, what about dealing with dealing with County Council BT's concern about the effectiveness of the existing land drains? Because that seems to me to be quite a significant point.
With this proposal, where the buffer zone is 7 metres, and then we're going to have to review the land drain anyway, aren't we?
So as far as I'm aware, the motion by Councillor Spencer is to approve, subject to the conditions listed, and an additional condition for landscaping, for Stratford landscaping along the western boundary, within the 7 metre buffer.
Okay.
not only include the three metre hedges but also trees and so forth. Yeah, sure, it's very exciting.
Councillor Pryor Cross.
Yeah, on page 11, item 12, going from what Gareth was saying, there's a 6 metre wide buffer zone should be retained around the existing land drains. And these are land drains that Councillor Beattie is talking about.
Well, they haven't even identified them. They're not in the report. That's what we're worrying about. You can't plant trees over land drains. And until you know where the land drains are, where they're coming from, where the water's going to, you actually can't do anything. And the information is misleading. It's not being provided.
I'm suggesting, that that point should be recognised as a precondition to approval.
Can't have a precondition to approve. We have to approve with a condition. We pre-advise commencement.
Perhaps that is already a condition.
Yeah.
In condition four, it says they shall be maintained. In order to maintain them, they've got to identify them.
So we've had the proposition to approve and seconded by Councillor Peter Jones. I think we've got the words sorted out now. This as condition plus additional condition. Yeah. And that page 11, it does say there about the land drains.